powdered sugar. When your oven is ready, take your dough out of the refrigerator. Using a teaspoon from your silverware drawer, drop the dough by rounded teaspoonful into the bowl with the powdered sugar. Roll the dough around with your fingers to form powdered sugar-coated cookie dough balls. Hannah's third note. If you coat your fingers with powdered sugar first and then try to form the cookie dough into balls, it's a lot easier to accomplish. Place the coated cookie dough balls on your prepared cookie sheets, no more than 12 cookies to a standard size sheet. Hannah's fourth note, work with only one cookie dough ball at a time. If you drop more than one in the bowl of powdered sugar, they'll stick together. Also, make only as many cookie dough balls as you can bake at one time. Cover the remaining dough and return it to the refrigerator until you're ready to bake more. If you decide you want to decorate your cookies, press half of a maraschino cherry, rounded side up, on top of each cookie before you bake them. Bake your pineapple raisin whippersnapper cookies at 350 degrees Fahrenheit for 10 minutes. Let them cool on the cookie sheet for 2 minutes, and then move them to a wire rack to cool completely. This is a lot easier if you line your cookie sheets with parchment paper. Then you don't need to lift the cookies one by one. All you have to do is grab one end of the parchment paper and pull it, cookies and all, onto the wire rack. Once the cookies are completely cool, store them between sheets of waxed paper in a cool, dry place. Your refrigerator is cool, but it's definitely not dry. Yield 3 to 4 dozen soft, delicious spice and fruit cookies, depending on cookie size. Chapter 8. Hannah glanced at the baker's racks standing by the oven. They were almost empty, and that meant it was time to bake again. Lisa was telling her story about PK, and customers were lining up to hear it. Some of them, like Grandma Knudsen, the First Lady of Holy Redeemer Lutheran Church, had been in the coffee shop for 3 performances. Grandma's granddaughter-in-law, Claire Rogers Knudsen, had come in several minutes ago from her dress shop, and it looked as if Grandma would be staying for a 4th performance. Once Hannah had explained what she wanted Andrea to do, and Andrea had left with Michelle, Hannah had checked with Lisa, Aunt Nancy, and Marge. All 3 had agreed that Hannah should accept Sally's offer, and Hannah had called Sally back with the good news. She thought about returning Cyril's call, but she decided that it could wait and that she would work on replenishing their cookie supply first. Nothing in their thick volume of tried-and-true cookie recipes appealed to Hannah, and she decided to come up with a recipe for a new cookie. Their customers loved lemon, and there was no reason why she couldn't combine their recipe for lemon cookies with their recipe for oatmeal cookies. A quick check of the pantry and cooler assured her that she had all the ingredients she needed on hand. This was good because she really didn't have time to run out for missing ingredients. She collected everything she needed, quickly mixed up the cookie dough, and now she was waiting for her oatmeal lemon cookies to come out of the oven. There was a knock on the back kitchen door, and Hannah glanced at the timer. There was 1 minute to go, and she hurried to answer the door. "Hi, Norman," she greeted him and motioned him in. "I have just enough time to get you a cup of coffee before my new cookies come out of the oven." Norman hung his parka on a hook by the back door and took his usual seat at the workstation. Hannah had just delivered his mug of coffee when the timer began to buzz. "Thanks, Hannah. You have perfect timing," he told her. "So do you. I was going to call you, but now you're here. Hold on a second while I take the cookies out of the oven and brush on the topping." "Take your time," Norman said as he picked up his mug of coffee. When Hannah opened the oven door, the scent that rolled out caused her to smile. She breathed in deeply and took the first pan of golden brown cookies from the oven shelf. The warm cookies had to be glazed immediately, and Hannah had already mixed up the glaze. She brushed the glaze on each pan of cookies before she slid the cookie sheets onto the baker's rack. "What smells so good?" Norman asked her. "Oatmeal lemon cookies. They'll be cool in a couple of minutes, and then we can sample them." "I've never tasted those before," Norman said. Hannah laughed. "Neither have I. It's a new recipe I just tried. I have no idea if they're good or not." "They smell good," Norman commented. I'll be happy to help you test them. You're always happy to test something, Norman. I know. I'm just a nice guy that way. Hannah smiled as she poured herself a cup of coffee and sat down across from Norman. I was going to call you at the clinic to invite you to dinner tonight, but now I can ask you in person.
Thanks, Hannah. I'd love to come. Can I bring anything?
Yes. Bring Cuddles. Moisha loves it when he can play with a friend, especially when the friend is Cuddles.
My pleasure. And it'll be a pleasure for Cuddles, too. What are we having for dinner?
Jambalaya.
You've never made that before, have you?
No. This is the first time.
Well, I'll be happy to test that for you, too. Would you like me to pick up anything to go with the jambalaya?
Hannah thought about that for a moment, and then she nodded. I could use some ginger ale. I think I'm all out. Or anything else you want to drink. I know I have beer, but I doubt Mike will drink since he's on call. And since Mike is Lonnie's boss, I'm almost certain that Lonnie won't have anything with alcohol. I already have white wine for Michelle if she wants it, and of course I'll make coffee.
I'll pick up some ginger ale. I have to run out to the mall, and there's a new store out there called the Pop Shop. They bottle their own sodas, and if you buy a case, you can mix and match.
I wonder if they have red cream soda. It was Grandma Ingrid's favorite, and she always had it in her refrigerator.
If they have it, I'll put a few bottles in the case for you, Norman promised.
Great. That would be like a trip down memory lane. Now, if I could only find lemon ice cream, I'd have everything that Grandma Ingrid loved.
Including you, of course.
Yes, Hannah said, remembering how her grandmother used to hug her every time she visited.
What's in your jambalaya, Hannah?
Chicken, shrimp, tomatoes, rice, garlic and onion, and seasonings. And that reminds me. I bought a big bag of frozen shrimp, and I'm not going to use it all, so Moisha and Cuddles will have shrimp for a treat.
Perfect. Those two always appreciate shrimp.
I know. Shrimp and salmon are their favorites. Hannah got up from her stool. I'm going to remove the cookies from their sheets and put them on wire racks so they'll cool faster.
Good idea.
Norman watched while Hannah removed the cookies with a wide metal spatula and placed them on racks on the counter.
How long will it take for them to cool?
Not long at all if I put one rack in the cooler. Hannah carried a rack filled with cookies to the walk-in cooler and opened the door. She went in with the cookies and was back a few seconds later. Can I top off your coffee, Norman?
Norman picked up his cup and held it out as Hannah approached with the coffee carafe. When she'd added fresh coffee to his mug, he smiled. Thanks, Hannah. Are you sure those cookies aren't cool enough?
Hannah laughed. They've barely been in the cooler for a minute.
I wouldn't mind tasting a hot one.
All right, I'll go check. Hannah went back to the cooler, and when she returned, she was carrying a paper plate full of cookies. They're still pretty warm, but that should be all right, she said, setting the plate down between them. Help yourself, Norman. Norman didn't need any further encouragement. He reached for a cookie and bit into it. Hannah reached for her own cookie and took a bite. She said.
Is right, Norman agreed. These are incredible, Hannah.
The lemon flavor just explodes in your mouth, and I love the combination of oatmeal and lemon. They're tart and sweet at the same time. I like that, too, Hannah concurred. They sat in silence, munching the cookies, until each of them had eaten three. Then Hannah sighed. Go ahead and ask me, Norman.
You know why I came here today?
I think so. It's PK's murder. You want to ask me if I'm going to investigate?
Norman reached across the stainless steel surface, took her hand, and shook it. Congratulations! You're a genius. And you're right, of course. Are you?
Yes.
That brings up another question. It occurred to me the minute I heard exactly what happened to PK, and Doc Knight confirmed that he was fatally drugged by the candy that was delivered to Ross's office. You know what I'm trying to say, don't you?
Hannah gave a reluctant nod. Yes, I do.
Is Mike investigating both murders? I know that sounds weird, but that candy could have been intended for Ross.
Unfortunately, that's true.
And both you and Mike are investigating both murders? The one that could have happened and the one that did?
That's right.
What can I do to help you, Hannah? Come over for dinner tonight. Norman looked surprised. I already told you I'll come.
Yes, and coming for dinner will help me investigate.
How?
I want you to tell Mike and me anything you know about PK's personal life. And then I want you to tell us what you know about Ross's background that I don't know.
You probably know more than I do, Hannah.
Not necessarily. We really didn't discuss his family or his past. When I was in college and we were all living in the same apartment building, he told me that his mother died giving birth to him, and he lived with his grandmother until his father got married again. Ross's fiancée, Linda, showed me his mother's photo. It was sitting on a table in their living room.
Hannah stopped and sighed.
That photo was one of the things Ross didn't take with him when he left. It's still sitting on the dresser in the bedroom.
What else do you know about his background?
After Ross moved back here to go to work for KCOW, he said that when he grew up, his family lived next to Senator Worthington's family.
That could be important, Hannah.
I don't know if it is or not. Mike knows that Ross knew Senator Worthington. They talked about it.
Do you know why Ross's family didn't come to your wedding?
No. Ross said he asked them and they couldn't make it, but I was so busy with the Food Channel contest and all, I didn't think to ask why. And looking back on it now, I realize that I have no idea how many relatives Ross has or where they live.
Norman patted her shoulder. That's all right, Hannah. Everything happened very fast.
Yes, Hannah said. And then something very surprising happened to her, something that had never happened before. Two tears rolled down her cheeks, and she had to swallow hard before she could speak again. Engaged couples usually ask questions of each other, like, where do you want to live after we're married, and do you want children? We never did that. There just wasn't time. I know I loved him, and I think he loved me, but I'm beginning to think that I really didn't know Ross very well at all.
Oatmeal lemon cookies.
Preheat oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit, rack in the middle position. The cookie dough. 2 cups brown sugar. Pack it down in the cup when you measure it. 1 cup, 2 sticks, 8 ounces, 1/2 pound, salted butter, softened. 1 large egg, 1/4 cup whole milk, 1/4 cup sour cream, 1 teaspoon baking soda, 1 teaspoon baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1 teaspoon lemon zest, the finely grated yellow part of the lemon peel, 2 1/2 cups all-purpose flour, pack it down in the cup when you measure it, 1 1/2 cups quick-cooking oatmeal, I used Quaker 1 minute, 1 teaspoon lemon extract, if you don't have it, use vanilla extract. The topping, 1/4 cup lemon juice, 1/4 cup white granulated sugar. Prepare your cookie sheets by spraying them with Pam or another non-stick cooking spray or lining them with parchment paper. Place half of the brown sugar in the bowl of an electric mixer. Add the 2 sticks of salted softened butter. Sprinkle the other half of the brown sugar on top of the softened butter. Beat on medium speed until the mixture is light and fluffy. Continue to beat and add the egg to your mixing bowl. Beat the brown sugar, butter, and egg mixture until it is lighter in color and thoroughly blended. With the mixer running on medium speed, add the milk and the sour cream. Mix thoroughly. Add the baking soda, baking powder, and salt. Then add the lemon zest
and beat until they are well combined. Add 1 cup of the flour and mix it in thoroughly on low speed. Then add the 2nd cup of the flour. Once that is mixed in, add the remaining 1/2 cup of flour and mix it in. The dough should be fairly stiff. Turn off the mixer and scrape down the bowl with a rubber spatula. Sprinkle in the quick-cooking oatmeal, turn the mixer back on low, and mix in the oatmeal. With the mixer still running on low speed, mix in the lemon or vanilla extract. Take the bowl out of the mixer, scrape it down again with the rubber spatula, and give your cookie dough a final stir with a wooden spoon. Drop, by a rounded spoonful, onto your prepared cookie sheet, 12 cookies to a standard size sheet. Moisten the palm of your hand and press the cookies down slightly. You can also do this with a metal spatula dipped in water to keep the dough from sticking to the spatula. Bake at 350 degrees Fahrenheit for 12 to 15 minutes, or until they are a nice golden brown. Mine took 14 minutes. While the first pan of cookies is baking, mix up the topping. Heat the lemon juice just a bit in the microwave. The sugar will dissolve more easily if the juice is warm. Add the sugar and stir until it is dissolved. Place the topping next to your wire cooling racks along with a pastry brush. When the cookies come out of the oven, remove them to a wire rack with a piece of foil placed under the rack to catch the drips when you brush on the topping. If you've used parchment paper, just pull the paper with the cookies on it from the cookie sheet onto the wire rack. Leave the cookies on the parchment paper, and there's no need for a piece of foil under the rack. Brush the lemon topping onto the hot cookies. The faster you do this, the quicker the topping will dry into a glaze. Yield approximately 5 dozen sweet and tart cookies, depending on cookie size. Chapter 9. After Norman left, Hannah composed herself, and then she returned Cyril Murphy's call. Mike had told her that when the crime scene investigators released Ross's car, he would call Cyril and one of his mechanics would go to pick it up and assess the damage. "Hi, Cyril," Hannah said when the owner of Cyril's garage and Shamrock Limousine Service came on the line. "It's Hannah. My sister Michelle told me you'd called."
"Hello, Hannah,"
Cyril responded, and Hannah began to smile. Even though Cyril had never lived in Ireland, his parents had immigrated from the Emerald Isle, and there was still a slight trace of an Irish brogue in Cyril's voice.
"It's about the car. I had my top mechanic go over it, and there's surprisingly little damage. Mike told me that he'd hit a deer, and that usually does all sorts of damage."
"He just sideswiped it, Cyril."
"Oh, then that explains the dent in the fender that my guys popped out. There was a scrape on the side that we took care of with touch-up paint, and that's the extent of the body damage. Good thing there was a lot of snow in that ditch. The car had a soft landing, and it still runs just fine."
"That's good, I guess," Hannah said, shuddering slightly. She knew she would never want to drive it, and she was almost certain that Michelle wouldn't either. Neither one of them could forget the fact that PK had died behind the wheel.
"What do you want me to do with it, Hannah? I can have a couple of my mechanics drop it off in your extra space at the condo."
I don't think that's a good idea, Cyril. If it sits right next to my cookie truck at the condo, it's just going to make us sad every time we see it. Since Ross isn't here to make a decision, I'm not sure what I should do with it."
"I understand, but it's not Ross's decision, Hannah. It's yours."
Hannah was confused. "What do you mean? It's Ross's car."
"No, it's not. The pink slip was in the glove box, and Ross signed it over to you."
Hannah pulled out the chair by the phone and sat down hard.
"He did?" "Yes.
He signed it and dated it."
"Dated it?" "Yes, I've got it right here on my desk. Do you want to know the date?"
"Yes, please." Cyril read the date to her, and Hannah came close to gasping. It was the day that Ross had left Lake Eden. She drew a deep breath to steady herself, but that didn't keep the deep wave of grief from washing over her.
Ross had signed his car over to her and put the keys in Michelle's dresser. Had he feared that he wasn't coming back any time soon? Or perhaps not at all?
"Do you want to think about it and call me back, Hannah?" Cyril asked her.
No. I know what I want to do with it, Cyril. Make it look as good as you can and sell it. And I'll use the money to buy a nice used car from your lot for Michelle. Give her a couple of options and I'll bring her out to choose what she wants tomorrow morning.
I'll do that this afternoon, Hannah. I've got someone in Long Prairie who's looking for that exact make and model. I can send one of my mechanics over on his break to bring you the pink slip so you can sign it.
Hannah made another instant decision. That's fine, Cyril. I'll send Dex some cookies for you. It's really nice of you to do this.
No problem. I'll run the price past you before I make a deal with the buyer.
Don't bother, Hannah said instantly. She knew that Cyril would never cheat her. Just sell it and pick out some used cars you think Michelle would like, and thanks, Cyril. You're making things easy for me.
My pleasure, darling.
Hannah smiled. Cyril's brogue was thick when he said the typically Irish phrase. Bye, Cyril. And I won't forget to send those cookies. Hannah was smiling as she hung up the phone. Talking to Cyril always put her in a good mood, and she decided to make something special for him. Perhaps she could bake an Irish potato cookie. He'd really like that. And somewhere in her voluminous recipe collection at the condo, she thought she had a recipe. Since Michelle had scanned all the recipes and put them on her home computer, and she now had access to her files on the cloud, she'd be able to search for the recipe from here. 6 pans of multiple-choice bar cookies, 6 pans of lovely lemon bar cookies, and 6 pans of Rocky Road bar cookies later, Hannah had climbed into her cookie truck and driven to Jordan High to pick up Michelle from her 2 play rehearsals. She pulled up to the curb and idled there while she used her cell phone to text her sister, and then she leaned back in the driver's seat and shut her eyes for just a moment.
Hannah!
Hannah woke up to the sound of someone tapping her driver's side window. She blinked several times, and then she smiled as she saw Michelle standing there.
"Get in, Michelle," she called out, unlocking the passenger door. And after her sister had slid into the seat, she said, "Sorry, Michelle, I must have dozed off for a moment."
"That's not surprising. Neither one of us got much sleep last night. How's the baking coming, Hannah?"
"Good." Hannah put the truck in gear and drove to the corner. "I took on another project, Michelle."
"Really? What project?"
"Sally asked us to run a cookie booth at her holiday gift convention. I talked to Lisa, Aunt Nancy, and Marge, and they said they could handle the baking for the coffee shop by themselves if I wanted to do it."
"How many cookies do you think Sally's cookie booth will need?"
"Sally thinks we'll sell about the same number as we sell at the coffee shop."
Michelle looked surprised. "That's a lot of cookies."
"I know. But we get to keep all the profits. Sally doesn't want a thing. And she's not charging us rent for the booth. She told me she wanted to provide it as an on-site service so that the attendees can come to our booth, buy cookies and coffee, and carry them to the tables and chairs that they're going to set up in the center of the space."
Michelle gave a little nod. "That's a smart idea on Sally's part. It'll be almost like a food court."
"Yes, except we'll be the only food booth. Brooke and Lauren are so busy catering breakfasts, lunches, and dinners for the vendors, they won't have time to supply cookies for the cookie booth. Sally said she expected about 50 vendors, and almost 100 have signed up."
"That's great. And I want to help you in the booth. We don't have any rehearsals over the weekend, and Friday's a half day at school. I'm available on all 3 days."
A delighted smile spread over Hannah's face. "That's the best news I've gotten all week. And you'll have your own transportation to come and go as you please."
"What do you mean?" Michelle drew a deep breath and began to frown. "It's very generous of you, Hannah, but..." She stopped and swallowed. "Well, I hope you'll understand, but I really don't think I can drive Ross's car again. Not after you know.
Of course not. I feel the same way. I wouldn't be able to stop thinking about what happened. And that's why I decided to sell it.
Michelle looked puzzled. But, Hannah, how can you sell it? It's Ross's car.
Not anymore. It's my car now. Cyril found the pink slip and Ross signed it over to me on the afternoon he left.
Oh, Hannah. Michelle sounded as if she wanted to cry. Do you think that means Ross knew he wasn't coming back?
Maybe. I guess that's the obvious conclusion. If he hadn't taken the condo keys with him, I'd be convinced of it, but he did. And now, I'm not quite sure what all this means.
Michelle thought about that for a moment. It means he was looking out for you. Otherwise, he wouldn't have taken the time to sign the pink slip.
He was looking out for you, too. He left the keys in your top dresser drawer.
You're right. And Ross had no way of knowing that PK would be killed in his car, and neither one of us would want to drive it again.
Both sisters were silent for a moment, and then Hannah sighed. Well, even if he didn't know it was going to happen, Ross managed to solve a problem for you.
What problem?
Transportation. Cyril has a buyer for Ross's car, and I told him to pick out a couple of used cars that would be good for you. If everything works out all right, we'll just do an even trade.
But Ross didn't intend to buy me a car, Michelle objected. He intended to give his car to you.
The keys were in your dresser drawer, not mine. That settles it for me. Ross wanted you to have the car. So we're going out to Cyril's garage tomorrow morning, and you're going to choose which car you think is the best for you. I don't want any argument on this, Michelle.
Well, if you're sure...
I'm sure. Hannah pulled into her parking spot in back of the cookie jar. Now let's bake some cookies for Cyril. I told him I'd send some out to the garage when his mechanic came here with the pink slip.
What are we baking?
Irish potato cookies. You should like those.
Michelle nodded, and then she reached across the seat of Hannah's cookie truck to hug her sister. Thanks, Hannah. You're the best sister in the whole world.
Irish potato cookies. This dough must chill before baking. 1.5 cups white granulated sugar, 1 cup salted butter, 1/2 pound, 2 sticks, softened to room temperature, 3 large eggs, 2 teaspoons cream of tartar, 1 teaspoon baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1 teaspoon vanilla extract, 1.5 cups all-purpose flour, pack it down in the cup when you measure it, 3 cups instant mashed potato flakes, I used Hungry Jack original, 1 cup finely chopped walnuts, measure after chopping, 1/2 cup powdered confectioner's sugar in a bowl for later. Place the white granulated sugar in the bowl of an electric mixer. Hannah's first note, this recipe is a lot easier to make if you use an electric mixer. You can do it by hand, but it will take much longer. Add the softened butter and mix until the two ingredients are well combined and the mixture is light in color and fluffy. Add the eggs one by one, beating after each addition. Add the cream of tartar, baking soda, and salt. Mix until everything is well combined. Add the vanilla extract and mix it in. Measure out the all-purpose flour in a separate bowl. Mix it into the sugar, butter, and egg mixture in half-cup increments at low speed, mixing well after each addition. Add the instant mashed potato flakes in 1/2 cup increments, mixing well after each addition. Beat until everything is well incorporated. Mix in the chopped walnuts. Beat for at least a minute on medium speed until everything is thoroughly combined. Hannah's second note. At this point, you can add several drops of green food coloring if you are making these cookies for St. Patrick's Day. Try to achieve a nice pale green. Scrape down the sides of your mixing bowl and give your Irish potato cookie dough a final stir with a wooden spoon by hand.
Prepare your cookie sheets by spraying them with Pam or another nonstick cooking spray, or covering them with parchment paper. Scoop out a small amount of cookie dough with a spoon from your silverware drawer, and try to form a dough ball with your impeccably clean hands. If this is too difficult because the dough is too soft, cover your bowl with plastic wrap and refrigerate it for 30 minutes to an hour. Overnight is fine, too, but then don't forget to shut off the oven. When you're ready to bake, preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit, rack in the center position. While your oven is preheating, place the powdered sugar in a small bowl. You will use it to coat the cookie dough balls you will form. Form balls of cookie dough 1 inch in diameter with your impeccably clean hands. Roll the dough balls in the bowl of powdered sugar, one at a time, and place them on the cookie sheets, 12 dough balls to a standard-sized sheet. Flatten the dough balls a bit with a metal spatula or the heel of your impeccably clean hand. Bake at 350 degrees Fahrenheit for 10 to 12 minutes or until your cookies are golden around the edges. Take your cookies out of the oven and cool on the cookie sheet for 2 minutes, and then remove them to a wire rack. If you've covered your cookie sheets with parchment paper, all you have to do is grasp the edges of the paper and pull them, cookies and all, onto the wire rack. Yield approximately 8 dozen tender and delicious cookies, depending on cookie size. Chapter 10. Hannah glanced in her living room window as she followed Michelle up the covered staircase that led to her condo. Usually Moishe was sitting on the sill, staring out at her, but he wasn't there today. Perhaps he was sleeping and hadn't heard them climb the stairs. Now that she thought about it, Moishe had been sleeping a lot lately. "I'll catch him if you open the door, Hannah," Michelle offered as Hannah reached the landing.
"Okay. Brace yourself." Hannah pulled out her keys and waited until Michelle was standing within a foot of the door with her body braced for the impact. "Here we go," Hannah warned, inserting her key in the lock, unlocking the door, and opening it. Both sisters stood there for a moment waiting, but there was no sound from inside. The door was open, but Moishe was nowhere in sight.
"Where do you suppose he's..."
Michelle began to ask, when an orange and white blur bolted out the door and jumped into her arms. She made a sound that was halfway between a groan and an exclamation, and then she laughed.
"He answered your question," Hannah told her.
"I guess."
Michelle was smiling as she carried Moishe inside and placed him in his favorite spot on the back of the couch. Hannah watched as her feline roommate played his usual game with Michelle. He looked up at her with an expression that Hannah could only describe as pathetic, and gave a plaintive meow. Then he reached out with his paw, claws drawn in, and plunked it on the top of her hand. Hannah knew exactly what her cat wanted, but did Michelle know?
"Okay, you got it," Michelle said with a laugh. "Just hang on, Moishe. I'll get your kitty treats."
Convinced that her sister had all the bases covered, Hannah set the box she was carrying on the table and walked over to check the phone to see if there were any messages. The red light was blinking and the numeral 5 was displayed. That meant 5 people had called while she'd been at work. She pressed the button to play the messages and was treated to a quintet of sales calls from a roofer, someone who called himself a handyman, a woman who wanted to sell her long-term health insurance, and someone she'd never heard of who warned her that it was time for the annual checkup of her heating and air conditioning system. The last call, the 5th one, was the most interesting. It was a survey, supposedly, to find out if she had a home security system. If she already had a system, the caller wanted to know which make and model she had and how recently it had been installed. Hannah was laughing out loud as she erased the messages, and she turned to see Michelle standing next to her.
"What's so funny?" Michelle asked her.
"That last message. Did you hear it?"
"Yes. I know they said it was a survey, but it was really a sales call, wasn't it?"
"Not necessarily. Mike warned me about calls like that.
Sometimes they're more sinister than simple sales calls. The caller is gathering information about your home. If you tell them which kind of security system you have, they can compile a list for criminals who want to defeat your security system and break into your house.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Did Mike tell you to just hang up or what?
He said to tell them that you just installed a state-of-the-art system, and then, before they can ask any more questions, to hang up.
I'll do that from now on, and I'll tell my housemates to do the same. The jambalaya smells great, Hannah. Do you have to add anything else to it before we serve it?
Yes, but it's easy. About a half hour before everyone comes, I'll thaw the shrimp and add it to the slow cooker. And then I'll cook the rice so it's all ready to add to the crock right before serving.
I'll help you with that. Do you want me to bake some cheesy garlic crescent rolls to go with our salad? I noticed that you had a can of crescent rolls that's about to expire in the refrigerator.
That would be great. Do I have everything you need to make them?
Yes. There's some shredded cheese on the second shelf, and you have garlic in the mesh basket with the onions. What are we having for dessert? Do you need me to make something quick?
Hannah shook her head. No, I've got that covered. I baked an ultimate fudgy chocolate bundt cake while you were at the school.
Is that what was in the box you carried up the stairs?
Yes, but I didn't have time to frost it.
I'll frost it now. You have a tub of Cool Whip in the refrigerator, and I know how to make Cool Whip fudge frosting.
You're doing all the work, Michelle.
Not really. You shopped, drove back here to put up the jambalaya, and baked the cake. All I'm doing is throwing together the rolls and frosting the cake.
But you must be tired, Michelle. You didn't get much sleep last night. Wouldn't you rather use the time before everyone comes to take a nap?
I don't need a nap. I'm all jazzed up about getting my own car in the morning. You look like you need a nap much more than I do. Why don't you go stretch out on your bed for 20 minutes or so? I'll wake you a few minutes before they come, so you'll have time to freshen up.
Hannah was about to refuse when she reconsidered. She'd worked hard all day, and she was very tired. A short nap was exactly what she needed. Hannah opened her eyes. It was dark outside her bedroom window, and for a moment she thought it was morning. Then she remembered that she had stretched out to take a nap before Norman and Mike arrived. Had Michelle forgotten to wake her up? Or had she awakened on her own? Since she couldn't hear the sound of voices, and Moishe was still with her and not playing with Cuddles, she assumed it was the latter.
"Time to get up, sleepyhead," she told the cat, who was stretched out on half of her pillow.
It was amazing how long Moishe was when he slept in her bed. There were times when he ended up with both pillows, and she found herself sleeping on the very edge of the mattress.
"Let's go, Moishe. You're getting company tonight.
Norman is bringing Cuddles to play with you." At the sound of his best friend's name, Moishe lifted his head. Then he sat up, gave a little shake, and watched her as she washed her face, brushed her hair, and changed to a clean sweater.
"Let's go and see how Michelle is doing in the kitchen," Hannah said,
and Moishe jumped off the mattress to pad down the hallway after her as she walked toward the kitchen. As Hannah passed her desk in the living room, she noticed her personal checkbook sitting next to her daily calendar. She paused to pick it up and put it in her saddlebag purse. She knew her balance because she subtracted the amount of every check she wrote and kept a running balance. She had $376 in that account, and she might need some or all of that money if Michelle's car cost more than Cyril could get from the sale of Ross's car. If the car Michelle chose cost more than that, she would pay it off on Cyril's time payment plan. As she entered the kitchen, Hannah began to smile. The jambalaya she'd made smelled wonderful. She moved to the slow cooker, peered through the glass lid, and saw that Michelle had thawed the shrimp and stirred it in.
"You're up," Michelle said. "I made coffee if you want some."
"Coffee would be great," Hannah told her, taking her favorite cup from the cupboard and heading for the coffee pot to fill it. Then she sat down at the kitchen table and watched Michelle as her sister carried a covered pot to the crock pot and set it down on a folded kitchen towel.
"Rice?" Hannah made an educated guess.
"Yes.
I made a mixture of brown rice, red rice, and white. Is that all right?
That's perfect. Variety's always nice when it comes to food. Did you have time to frost the cake, or shall I do it?
It's frosted, and I put it in the refrigerator. It should be refrigerated for at least 30 minutes so the frosting will set.
When did you have time to do all that?
While you were sleeping. You needed the rest, Hannah. I checked on you a couple of times, and you were out like a light.
Michelle reached down to pet Moisha, who was looking at his food bowl expectantly.
Moisha was out like a light, too. He was even snoring.
At that instant, Hannah had an unwelcome thought. Did she snore, and was that why Ross had left her? She was almost afraid to ask, but she had to know. Was I snoring, too?
No. At least I don't think you were. You had the blanket pulled up over your face, so I'm not sure I would have heard it.
I was just curious, Hannah said, deciding it was best to change the subject. I'll set the table.
Sounds good.
Michelle went to the counter, finished rolling up the last cheesy garlic crescent roll, and carried the pan to the refrigerator.
I'll put these in the oven when they get here.
As Michelle opened the refrigerator door, Hannah spotted her ultimate fudgy chocolate cake. Michelle had frosted it perfectly, and it looked delicious. There was a large salad bowl on the middle shelf, and she asked, "What's in the salad bowl?"
"I made a cut green bean, chopped hard-boiled egg, and crumbled bacon salad. There's a sweet vinegar and ginger dressing in the bottom of the bowl, and I'll toss it when the guys arrive."
"But I didn't buy any green beans. How did you—"
"You had a package in the freezer," Michelle explained, anticipating the rest of Hannah's question. "All I had to do was cook them. And you had a couple of hard-boiled eggs in the refrigerator."
Hannah got out a clean tablecloth and walked to the dining room table. As she folded the matching cloth napkins, she thought about how much easier it was to entertain when Michelle stayed with her. She went back into the kitchen to gather dishes, bowls, glasses, and silverware, but before she opened the cupboard door, she went to Michelle and gave her a hug. Michelle smiled and hugged her back.
"What was that for?" she asked.
"That was because I love you, and it was also a thank you for all the work you did while I was sleeping." Jambalaya. Make this recipe in a 3.5 or 4 quart slow cooker. 12 ounces of boneless, skinless chicken breasts, 2 green bell peppers, 1 medium onion, 2 stalks crisp celery, 4 cloves of minced garlic, approximately 5 tablespoons of jarred minced garlic, 1 can, 14.5 ounces by weight, canned whole tomatoes, 1/3 cup tomato paste, 1 can, 14.5 ounces by weight, beef broth, I used Swanson, 1 tablespoon dried parsley, or fresh parsley, but cut it up and use 2 tablespoons, 1/4 teaspoon powdered oregano, 1/4 teaspoon powdered sage, 1 teaspoon salt, 1 teaspoon Tabasco sauce. I use Slappy Mama because I like it much better. 1 teaspoon cayenne pepper, 1 pound shelled and deveined shrimp. I used frozen salad shrimp. It's already cleaned, and Moisha and Cuddles love it. 3 cups cooked rice. Hannah's first note. Traditionally, white rice is used in this recipe, but you can use brown or mixed rice if you prefer. Just follow the package directions to cook it. Spray the inside of the slow cooker crock with Pam or another nonstick cooking spray. Hannah's second note, this will make it much easier to wash later. Cut the chicken into 1-inch pieces and put them into the bottom of the crock. Clean the green bell peppers by taking out the seeds and stems. Chop them in pieces and add them to the crock. Chop the onion and add it to the crock. Chop the celery into slices. You can use the leaves if your stalk has them. And add them to the crock. Add the minced garlic to the crock. Add the whole tomatoes and their juice. Also add the tomato paste to the crock. Open the can of beef broth and add the broth to the crock. Sprinkle in the parsley, oregano, sage, and salt. Add the Tabasco sauce, or your favorite hot sauce.
stir in the cayenne pepper. Hannah's third note, you will add the cooked rice and shrimp shortly before serving, after the rest of the ingredients have cooked together. Turn the slow cooker to low and cook for 8 to 10 hours. When the cooking time is up, thaw the shrimp by putting it in a strainer and running cold water over it. Add the shrimp to the crock and cook for another 15 to 30 minutes. Hannah's fourth note, do not add frozen shrimp to your crock. It could crack a hot crock and your whole meal would be ruined. While your shrimp is cooking, cook the rice on the stove, or in the microwave if you bought the kind in pouches, according to the package directions. Add the rice to the crock and stir it in right before serving the jambalaya. Hannah's fifth note, I usually put all the ingredients except the rice and the shrimp in the slow cooker the night before and store the crock in the refrigerator. In the morning, I return the crock to the pot and turn it on low to cook all day while I'm gone. When I get home, all I have to do is add the shrimp to the crock, cook the rice on the stove, and stir it into the crock right before serving. Michelle's note. There is a hurry-up way to make this dish. If you turn the temperature dial to high, it only has to cook for 3 to 4 hours. Then all you have to do is add the shrimp for 15 minutes, stir in the cooked rice, and you're good to go. Cheesy garlic crescent rolls. Preheat oven to 375 degrees Fahrenheit, rack in the center position. 2 18-ounce by weight cans of refrigerated crescent dinner rolls. I used Pillsbury. 2 teaspoons crushed garlic. 2 tablespoons salted butter. 1 ounce, 1/4 stick, softened to room temperature. 1 large egg, beaten. Just whip it up in a glass with a fork. 2 ounces finely shredded cheese. I used Kraft cheddar. While your oven is preheating, prepare your baking sheets by spraying them with Pam or another nonstick baking spray or lining them with parchment paper. Hannah's first note, parchment paper works best. Open the cans according to package directions and unroll the dough on a lightly floured surface. Do not separate the rolls into triangles quite yet. Leave them in sheets for now. Mix the crushed garlic together with the softened salted butter in a small bowl. Spread the garlic and butter mixture evenly over the surface of the dough. Mix the beaten egg with 2 ounces of finely shredded cheese. Spread the egg and cheese mixture in a thin layer over the butter and garlic layer. Separate the rolls into triangles and turn them so that they are point up, facing away from you. Roll each triangle up from the base to the point and curve the resulting roll into a crescent shape. Place your cheesy garlic crescent rolls on your prepared baking sheet. Hannah's second note, if you'd like darker brown rolls, brush the tops of each crescent roll with melted salted butter. Bake your rolls at 375 degrees Fahrenheit for 10 to 12 minutes or until they are golden brown. Leave the rolls on the baking sheet for 2 minutes and then transfer them to a napkin-lined basket and cover them with another napkin. Serve your cheesy garlic crescent rolls warm. Yield 16 delicious rolls to serve with any entree. Michelle's note, if you invite Mike, Lonnie, and Norman to dinner, you'd better double this recipe. Chapter 11. More jambalaya, Mike? Hannah asked as Mike finished his third helping.
Thanks, but I couldn't eat another bite.
Mike leaned back in his chair and gave a satisfied smile.
You know something, girls?
Hannah glanced at Michelle. They both knew what Mike was going to say. She gave a nod, Michelle nodded back, and they both spoke at once.
It was the best meal you've had in years.
Mike looked shocked.
How did you know what I was going to say?
Just a lucky guess, Hannah replied, winking at Michelle.
Yes, just a lucky guess, Michelle echoed her older sister. The coffee's all ready to go, and I'll turn it on. Does anyone want dessert now?
We'll wait until Lonnie and I get through interviewing you,
Mike decided for all of them.
Hannah, you're up first. Let's go in the kitchen where it's private. Then I want to talk to Michelle, and after that, we'll interview Norman.
Just let me bring the carafe of coffee out here before you start, Michelle added. Then I won't have to come back in the kitchen to get anything.
Once the carafe, cups, and cream and sugar were on the table, Hannah followed Mike and Lonnie to the kitchen table. She wasn't looking forward to this interview, because she'd have to admit that she hadn't really known much about her husband's background. Since she knew even less about PK's private life, at least her interview shouldn't take long. As it turned out, Hannah was wrong. Mike had wanted to know everything about Ross's life, including anything he'd told her about PK, and even what she'd learned about Ross in college. Then Mike wrapped up her interview and sent her back to the table to tell Michelle to come in. Once Michelle had left, Norman reached out for Hannah's hand.
You look exhausted. Were they that hard on you?
No, not at all. It's just that Mike wanted to know everything I knew about Ross in college, and... She paused and took a sip of her lukewarm coffee. Those memories brought everything back.
Just as if everything were happening again?
Hannah sighed. Yes. And it made me realize how naive I was. When I was in college, I took everything at face value, including anything that anyone told me. And I never compared what I thought I knew about Ross then with what he told me later.
There were discrepancies?
Yes. And I didn't realize it until Mike pointed them out to me. Ross told me that he'd grown up in Minnesota, but Mike checked his college records and he was an out-of-state student. And back then, Ross said he was an only child. But when we talked about the wedding, he mentioned that his sister couldn't come because she worked in London. I guess it's possible that his father got divorced and remarried and his third wife had a daughter, but Ross has only been out of college a few years, and his half-sister would be too young to move to London and work there.
Norman shrugged. Perhaps Ross's father did get divorced again, and his third wife had an older daughter from a previous marriage. Or they could have adopted an older child.
It's possible, I guess, but there were other things, too, little things, that I didn't think about before. I really don't want to go into them now.
Of course not. Norman slipped his arm around her shoulders. You've had a long day.
It's not that. It's just that I'm beginning to doubt my husband and everything he told me. I don't even know if that photo on our dresser is really his mother. Now I'm questioning everything, and that makes me feel disloyal.
Then why don't you trust what Ross told you until it's proven false? Give him the benefit of the doubt, Hannah. There may be a reasonable explanation for all of these discrepancies.
Yes, that's exactly what I'll do. That's what a good wife should do. At least, I think it is.
Loyalty, Norman said. That's admirable, Hannah.
That's true. Unless that loyalty is misplaced and I'm wearing blinders, then it's just plain stupid.
That was a great cake, Hannah. Mike shifted the box Hannah had given him to his other arm so that he could give her a hug.
The box held 3 pieces of cake that Hannah suspected would be eaten by midnight.
Try not to worry, okay? We'll solve this case and find Ross.
Hannah nodded, even though she was beginning to doubt that Mike could find Ross unless Ross wanted to be found.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye, Shelley. Lonnie gave Michelle a quick hug. I'll see you tomorrow morning. I'm going out to the garage to help Dad before I go to work. Unless Mike needs me sooner, of course. Not until 10, Mike told him. I have to make some calls when I get to the station, and you can't help me with those.
Hannah turned to give Michelle a look that said, I'll tell you later.
Their sisterly radar must have been working because Michelle nodded back.
"I'd better find Cuddles and head home," Norman said, after the door had closed behind Mike and Lonnie. He walked over to the couch where she had been napping with Moishe, and then he turned back with a puzzled expression.
"The cats aren't there."
Hannah smiled. "They're probably on my bed. Moishe's been going to bed early lately. Let's go look."
Hannah and Norman walked down the carpeted hallway and peeked in the open door to the master bedroom. It was clear that the cats hadn't heard them coming, because Moishe was still sprawled out on Hannah's feather pillow, and Cuddles was right next to him. Neither cat moved when they approached the bed or even twitched a whisker. Hannah put her finger to her lips, and Norman gave a nod of agreement. Then both of them backed out of the room. When they got back to the living room, Hannah led the way to one of the soft leather sofas.
"If you want to leave Cuddles, that's fine with me. You can always pick her up tomorrow."
"You do know she grows much longer during the night, don't you? And she also gains weight. Some nights when I try to move her, she weighs 300 pounds.
Hannah laughed. "That's okay. I'm used to that phenomenon. Moishe does the same thing."
"When you wake up in the morning, do you find yourself curled up into the smallest space possible so that Moishe can have the whole bed?"
"That's exactly what happens. But my offer still stands. Cuddles can have a sleepover with Moishe."
"Okay, as long as you know what you're getting into. You're leaving early tomorrow, aren't you?"
"No, I'm taking Michelle out to Cyril's garage, and he opens at 7 for the people who want to leave their cars before they go to work. Michelle and I want to be there when he opens."
"What time will you leave here?"
Hannah did some lightning-quick calculating. "We'll leave here at 6:30. Lisa said she'd come in early with Aunt Nancy and Marge to start the baking."
"Then I'll be here at 6. That'll give me time to have a cup of coffee with you and pick up Cuddles. My first appointment's not until 8, so I'll have plenty of time to take her home before I go to the clinic."
"Fine with me," Hannah said, smiling at him. "Thanks for your support, Norman. I really was a wreck after that interview with Mike."
"That's understandable." Norman stood up, pulled her into his arms, and gave her a hug.
"I'll let myself out. Good night, Hannah."
"Good night, Norman."
After Norman had left, Hannah sat there for a moment, thinking. She wasn't sure just how she should feel if Ross had misled her about his background deliberately. Was that grounds for divorce? And did she really want a divorce? She considered it for a moment, and then she decided that she was borrowing trouble. As Norman had said, there could be a perfectly reasonable explanation for the discrepancies. Feeling a bit better, Hannah got off the couch and headed for the bedroom. As she passed the door to the guest room, she glanced in and found Michelle already in bed, curled up on her side and sleeping. There was a slight smile on her face, and Hannah wondered if her sister was dreaming about the car she would choose in the morning. 5 minutes later, Hannah was ready for bed, and she climbed under the covers. A gentle nudge convinced the cats to move to the foot of the bed so she could reclaim her pillow. And before she could even think about how tired she was in the exact same position as her youngest sister, fast asleep. Ultimate Fudgy Chocolate Bundt Cake. Preheat oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit, rack in the middle position. 4 large eggs, 1/2 cup vegetable oil, 1/2 cup cold coffee, or water if you don't want to use coffee, 8-ounce by weight tub of sour cream, I used Knudsen, 1 box of chocolate fudge cake mix with or without pudding in the mix, the kind that makes a 9-inch by 13-inch cake, or a 2-layer cake. I used Duncan Hines. 5.1-ounce package of instant chocolate pudding mix. I used Jell-O, the kind that makes 6 half-cup servings. 12-ounce by weight bag of mini chocolate chips. 11-ounce package will do, too. I used Nestle. Prepare your cake pan. You'll need a Bundt pan that has been sprayed with Pam or another nonstick cooking spray and then floured. To flour a pan, put some flour in the bottom.
Hold it over your kitchen wastebasket, and tap the pan to move the flour all over the inside of the pan. Continue this until all the inside surfaces of the pan, including the sides of the crater,